Okay, we're going to have a discussion of working cowboy or cowman and whatever you prefer narratives. We have two gentlemen from Kenansville. Everybody knows where Kenansville is, right? Okay, you know where Yeehaw Junction is. You know where Holapaw is, or maybe St. Cloud. About halfway up between Yeehaw Junction and St. Cloud on 441. So we have about half of Kenansville here today. We have three fellas from Kenansville. So come on up, guys. First, we have Mr. Billy Davis, who is the ranch foreman. And we're going to need three chairs. We're going to need five chairs. Five chairs and a corresponding number of mics. And speaking of mics, we have Mr. Michael Wilder, Mike Wilder, of Wilder Saddlery, saddle maker, and has also done a lot of cow work and still does. Right here. Okay. And in the middle, Mr. George Altman from Wachula. Did I add that Mike is also from Kenansville? So we have, Mike Heisen over in the tent demonstrating leather work. He's from Kenansville also. So I think they had to shut down the store there today because there's nobody to come in.
How much money I got, I'll turn it off.
How much you need?
And we're going to have one more for Bill Mansfield.
Hey, them fellas are going to be hecklers out there. Run there.
Yeah, there's the hecklers. Well, they better watch out because some of them are going to be up here in this very spot either later today or tomorrow.
Good.
Okay, again, all the way down on my right, your left, we have Mr. Billy Davis from Kenansville, the foreman of the Rollins Blue Cypress Ranch, which I believe is about 45,000 acres. How many head of cattle you got there?
Right at 7,000 mama cows.
So you got your hands full. And believe me, it wasn't easy to get this guy to take a day off. Of course, he doesn't start work till about noon usually. I think Billy's gotten up at 4:30 every day of his life.
Yeah.
And Mr. George Altman, who he actually makes saddles and, of course, is here demonstrating whip making. He's one of the few people that still makes the buckskin whips, tans his own hides and does the whole process. And you can see that here except for the tanning. And he also does a lot of what they call day work. We'll be talking about what that means out of Wachula, which is over sort of in the near the west and pretty far south, yeah. Kind of straight across from Okeechobee, but out far west. Really just a little, almost straight across from where on the Gulf Coast? Would it be Fort Myers?
No, probably farther straight across from Okeechobee more.
But
more.
I mean... Okay.
It's a
beard. And Mike Wilder, who's also from Kenansville, he's a full-time saddle maker, but he still does a lot of what we call day work. Yeah. And while we're talking about that term, maybe we'll ask Billy to tell us, what does day work mean and how does that system work?
Well, I use a different term of day riders because a day worker, you can talk them into patching fence or putting feet out for the yearlings. A day rider come in there and they're kind of aggravating to get along with, and they just won't stay on their horse all the time. So that's the type of fella I have to put up with. But we always have a good time. But a day rider goes from ranch to ranch to ranch, and usually strictly cow work. Which is marking and branding, pregnancy testing, shipping. You know, and about the time you get through on a big place, you just got to turn around and start over. And it's best to get experienced fellers, and that's what I always try to get. And because I've been there and done that, I was a day rider also, you know, for many years. But they know what they're doing, and it's you get a good crew, and you can leave if you have to.
And what's how long of a day is it usually when you hire day riders?
We usually start at 9:30 in the morning. We'll knock off with Mike 2 or 3.
Right.
No, we usually got our horses saddled at 6:30 or so. Leave the house at 5-ish, and it'll probably make everybody mad that's worked for me, but we hate to leave cows in the pens. And if you got a bunch of cattle in the pens, I like to get them out. And sometimes it's 9 or 10 o'clock, but once a year or something, we'll knock off at 5:30, you know, and get on to the house.
So these are 12 and 16 hour days,
right,
pretty often.
Right, that's correct. Yep.
Yeah. And of course, these guys get paid a fabulous sum for this work, right?
Yes, sir. By the time you take out fuel at 3:30 a gallon and drive 100 miles and have to take your dinner and sometime feed your horse, they'll probably, after taxes, they'll bring home $30 or $40 a day, probably.
Because the going rate is what, 100 and a quarter, 150?
150 is probably base price, but I think they about got it figured out. If we all can live to be 75, we'll be made $50,000 in a lifetime in the cattle business. So we got something to look forward to, you know.
Retirement fund,
yeah.
George, you've done a lot of this sort of work. Can you tell us what you like about it? I mean, why would a fellow want to work long hours for short pay and hard work?
I think mostly the company you keep, and cowboys is all, most of them pretty good to get along with. I used to say they're kind of like cur dogs. Once they get through smelling each other's armpits, they all get along pretty well.
Could I ask you to scoot up a little closer to the mic?
No.
Thank you.
And just getting out, getting in the woods, you can see a lot of stuff. If you're kind of quiet, it's pretty. And don't have the noise of all the traffic. And just get out there by yourself and see things and feel good about it. You know, you ain't got to worry about somebody yakking in your ear and not saying nothing all day long. The horses, love riding good horses. Like watching dogs work, and it's a pleasure to work good cattle. There's some places you go that still pretty rank. I don't really enjoy that much anymore. Can't run fast enough. But I think it's mostly just getting out and looking at what God's made for us. Yeah.
Now, yeah, you used a term that some people might not be that familiar with, especially if they don't watch PBR on TV. Rank. What does rank mean, the way you just used it?
Just bad cattle, something that will come to you and not leave you. You know, they'll run your horse for 50 yards before they ever quit. You get in the cow pen, you're like a monkey at the end of the day. One arm's a lot longer than the other, hanging onto the fence all day. Just old rat, just old bad, mean cattle.
Mike. Woke him up.
Mike's got a little solo. Made special for
you. Mike is full-time in the saddle business, and he stays kind of got a backlog of orders and a lot of repair, but you still get out and do some of this work. Can you tell us why you do that?
Well, I have laid it to lack of good sense before. I actually started cowboying full-time when I was 18. It's kind of hard to quit, I guess. You know, like George says, it's the company you keep. Different lifestyle than a lot of people, I guess, have the opportunity to do.
Now, both of you fellas are saddle makers. Does this work help you with your saddle business? I mean, as far as knowing what your customers need, because I'm going to back up a little bit. Y'all both make saddles largely for working cowboys,
yeah.
Utilitarian saddles as opposed to fancy stuff. My understanding is you don't do that much rodeo stuff, mostly for working
right.
people.
Yeah.
Can you talk about how this helps?
Well, what I've done over the years is just watch people and look at people and the way they ride in horses and how that saddle will fit. Working, roping, and stuff like that. What happens to that saddle when you're tied on to something pretty heavy? Rub your horse or not rub your horse, rub you or not rub your rear end too, you know. And it's helped me as far as how to put a saddle together. Just looking, just see how does that horse act under that saddle and how does that man feel at the end of the day after he's ridden.
You got anything to add, Mike?
Well, it seems like if you're making something like that, you can't know all the ins and outs until you've done it yourself.
Yeah.
Sat in it, rode one all day, and, you know, the horse is all right when you get off of him, and you're all right, and, you know, just where everything's working together.
Now, Billy, you ride a Cracker horse.
That's correct, yeah.
That's what you work from. Does that present any special challenges saddle-wise?
Yeah, most of your little Cracker horses, they're small. Your smaller horses, I just get along with them better, but it's the saddles they make nowadays is full quarter horse bars, and you got to ride so many pads. But anyhow, Mike saw me fall off two or three times. He said he's going to fix that. But he measured my horse and me, and of course Mike has rode, me and Mike's rode together a lot. And he built me a couple of saddles that, you know, just one pad saddles, and I never had a sore backed horse, or it just fit me and my horse. Of course, you could take the same saddle and put it on a mutton back quarter horse and it wouldn't fit, and that's where these saddle builders come in at, you know. They know what kind of horse you're riding and how you ride, and they can build that saddle to where there ain't no leak, seeps, or drips in it, you know. Mike built him one time a few years back, and it had a leak in it. And I told him that morning to be careful. And we was gathering some little bulls, and I got to tell him, Mike.
I figured he'd come with
me. Hey, and I was building me a molasses station, and I had two 10,000-gallon tanks end-to-end, and a little motor in the middle, and a little fella putting valves in where we wanted to know we had a plan. And me and Mike was gathering some little yearling bulls, and the place where we was at, you could close the gate and turn it 180 degrees and look back, and it'd be open. But anyhow, we had them little bulls going down the road, and somebody left the gate open. So here me and Mike went. Mike was ahead of me right there. And he was riding a little horse. I think old Peck weighed 1230 or so long in there.
About that.
And boy, away he went, you know, getting ahead of them bulls. And I just laid a new shell road in there right beside them molasses tanks. And that little Spanish feller wondering what was going on. About the time Mike got right beside him, he stuck his head out between them two things.
Hey.
Old Peck went south with him, left Mike in the middle of that new shell road, and I rode to him and asked him if he was all right, and he said, I don't know yet, give me a minute.
Hey,
but that evening, I think he fixed a leak in that saddle.
Hey, yeah.
What do you mean by a leak in a saddle?
Hey, he fell off. Or yeah. Out of
yeah. That's kind of short for that, yeah.
Hey.
Actually, my horse went down, and I was thrown off.
Hey. Another time we were bringing some cows up, and Bob asked me to do this, Mike. It ain't old man. Them old Charlotte cows won't, they're not scared of a man or a dog. They're just slobber all down the back of a dog. And we had them cows up there and little old baby calves, and Mike had got over his horse to help that little baby save the baby, you know. One of them big-headed Charlotte cows left a bunch and come to him, and Mike left his horse and everything. And dove up under an anhydrous ammonia tank, and I had to go save him.
In a fire ant bed.
In a fire ant bed, yeah.
He was being caught playing rock in a hard place.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry, man.
That's all right. You'll get your turn.
Actually, you know, there's a couple of stories to tell on Billy, too. You
oh,
know.
My goodness.
He is, a lot of people don't know, but he's a champion banjo picker. And he used to travel with Keith Bass, but he's a nice guy. He'd let Keith play.
There you go, yeah.
And both Billy and Mike are champion hula dancers. And in fact, we're on the front page of the Orlando Sentinel. Yeah,
Billy's actually a lot better hula dancer than
that. We had a small folk festival down in Orlando in conjunction with an exhibit, and there was a, you know, tradition bearers from the local area, and there was a hula dancer from Orlando, and they got both Mike and Billy out there. And there happened to be a photographer from the Orlando Sentinel, so they wound up on the front page of the Sunday paper, and I think they pasted that picture, put that page up on the Kenansville General Stores till it just faded away to nothing.
Yeah, I put it in the store door down there. Mike looked like he had broke down in the hip.
Hey. He ain't gonna leave you alone, is he?
So what is getting back? Not that we aren't having fun, but a lot of people might not realize, and maybe Mike, you can tell it. What is the equipment that a day worker or a day rider needs? You know, and the other thing is part of the same question. Is there a list or a union, or how do people know to hire you or you? How do you know who to hire?
Well, as far as hiring, it's just, you know, people know you, and it pays to have a good reputation. You know, people, word gets around, you know, and working here and there, you meet people, and it's just a network, I guess, to put it in kind of terms.
Pretty much strictly reputation.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. Some have better reputations than others, you know.
And Billy, you're doing hiring now. You're hiring day riders or day workers, whatever you call them. What do you look for?
I don't look for anything. I've gotten hard-headed and stiff-necked and set my ways, and if I don't know him and know he's a good hand, I can't, you know, you get to a certain age, you can't train anybody anymore.
So you're not taking any chances?
No, I hire a good crew, and I can turn Mike and them loose and tell them what we need, and if I don't leave, they'll tell me to leave.
Had to run him off sometime.
And what does a fella need that's going to be in this business of being a day rider or a day worker? What kind of equipment does he have to have nowadays? You just show up with your horse, or what do you do?
Well, you better bring your dinner. But you got to be prepared. Horse, saddle, bridle, horse, trailer.
Truck.
A truck. Pocket full of money to afford fuel.
About $50,000 worth of gear.
Yeah.
Counting everything.
To make $150 a day.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right.
How does that price get determined?
They can't know the children, and we all have to keep up.
Yeah. Well, it just, that's what it takes. I mean, and by the time you put your pencil to it, with your fuel, and horse feed and dog feed, truck payment and a trailer payment, and break it down per day, you're still not making very much. And it's best to have a good insurance policy, which is hard to come by. But it's that's what it takes.
And for how long do you usually hire a guy? Is he going to work one day, 2 days a week?
It depends on the big outfits, little outfits. I started February 13th in 06, and I haven't stopped using day riders yet, you know. And I just let them worry about who's going to work next week and who ain't, you know. If Mike's lined up to go somewhere else, or Tom, Dick, and Harry, I said, well, get with so-and-so, and maybe, you know, he'll find somebody to take his place for a week or two, and then when that's over, he'll fall back in, you know.
Bill, you got...
Well, we've talked a lot about, sort of jokingly, about the equipment that a day worker needs, but like you said that he has to have, what, a trailer to haul his horse in, his horse, his saddle. What are the other things that they have? Because I've seen them working, and they've got more... They come with more than a horse and saddle. So what is the other equipment that they need when they're doing day work?
Well, I don't know if I can answer that.
But yeah, dogs are kind of actually fading out.
But like
these
days,
getting faster, smaller, better improved, and just not as much need for them as it used to be.
But like I've seen some men use whips, ropes, you know, the slickers. What are the different things that you have to have if you're going to
tie it onto your saddle?
You need a $100 cow whip, about a $40 rope, a $75 slicker, $200 hat, $200 pair of boots, $100 pair of spurs, breeches from Walmart. And the shirt if you got anything left. Of course those things last a while, so you don't have to buy them every week.
And for audience information, we are going to be doing a narrative stage on cow dogs, and I think it's 4:00. So we'll be talking more about the dogs and what they do and how they work. And Jack Gillen has a pretty tame cow dog over there. Billy, maybe we got about, what, 3 or 4 minutes? Maybe we could just run through each one of you and talk a little about how you came to be in this occupation, a little bit about your family, how far cattle work goes back in your family. We start with you, Billy.
As far back as what I can run down, and my sister, she's doing, you know, some genetic work on us. That's what I call it.
Genealogy?
You can call it that if you want to. But as far as I can take it back, I know my papa, my dad's dad, was a cowboy, and then daddy, and then me and my brother, you know, and all the daddy's brothers up until they's, you know, got some age on them and couldn't cowboy anymore. But it's been about 3 or 4 generations of cowboying, and it's, I don't know, like George was saying, you know, when I went back to that place where I'm at now, them boys talking about, well, these bunch of cattle we've tried to get and tried to get and tried to get, and it's been in the environment. And I waited on a moonlight night one night and took one dog down there and gathered 175 head of 2-year-old heifers all by myself. You know, and that's rewarding in itself, you know. Just to prove a point maybe, or just because knowing there's cattle out there that you can't pin and gather, you know, is make you lay awake at night worrying about it. But it's rewarding if that's the kind of stuff you like.
George, can you tell us a little bit about your background in this?
My family, on the Altman side, my grandpa had cattle and worked cattle and back during the screw arming and all that. He was a range rider, and my dad come along, and he was really a better cowboy, I think, than I'll ever be, but he didn't care nothing about it. and he sort of got out of it. And I stayed with it, piddled a little bit along and along with this. That's where we come from, most of my grandpa. And on the Altman side, I had uncles that were in the cow business and cousins. And down there in Mike, what they call Mike City, and that Mike State Park and Sugar Bowl country and the Sidell, that country is where we come from. And just stayed with it. I hope I can keep on as long as I can get on a horse. You know, I don't look forward to that day. When that time comes, I'm not going to be a very pleasant man to be around, I don't think. But it was just family. From as back as we can go. I've got an older sister. She's wanting to dig around in this genealogy stuff. I said, you better not dig too far. You might find something you don't want. But she's four weeding on it. All of us have entered the cow business. Something to do with the cow business.
Mike, you're a seventh generation Floridian, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And how far does your family go back in the cow business?
That I know of, for sure, my grandfather, and I'd work, you know, with him during the summers and stuff, and that was probably what caused me to get into this line of work full time, because I worked one time for 3 months, and I made $50 for 3 months, and that just kind of... I figured that was just free money.
Yeah, that built the fire in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I bet you big time.
Yeah. Hey, a pot of gold down there.
Well, we need to wrap up. Thanks again to Billy Davis, George Altman, and Mike Wilder. They're all over in the craft tent. Please go visit them, and I'm sure they'd love to talk to you.